Hello and welcome to the Hymns Podcast. I'm joined again today by my good friend Dan Cole. This is Brad Lindsay. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Brad.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Today we are talking about a hymn and a person that is near and dear to my Franciscan educated brother's heart over here. So Dan was educated in Franciscan high school and spent some time in the Catholic Church early in his life and was very familiar with this. The hymn writer or the wordsmith of the hymn that we're going to be focused on today. So, Dan, let's start by talking about St. Francis.
I guess the first thing to do is talk about his life and his conversion, because it's actually a pretty dramatic and pretty remarkable story. He was born in Assisi. He lived from 1182 to 1226, was born into great wealth. His father was a successful merchant. And he would have been known as Francesco. He would have been expected to take over the and run the family business. And he was also lived a rather, I guess you could say, he lived a rather debauched life. His primary biographer was Thomas of Celano, who was a disciple of Francis's, and he writes very colorfully depicting his upbringing and his life up to the age of his conversion, which was when he turned 25. And Celano writes, "From the earliest years of his life, his parents reared him to arrogance in accordance with the vanity of the age. And by long imitating their worthless life and character, he himself was made more vain and arrogant. Maliciously advancing beyond all of his peers in vanities, he proved himself a more excessive inciter of evil and a zealous imitator of foolishness. Mm. He endeavored to surpass others in his flamboyant display of vain accomplishments, wit, curiosity, practical jokes, and foolish talk, songs, and soft and flowing garments." So this is who you're dealing with prior to his conversion, but Thomas of Celano describes his conversion using verses, quoting verses from Ezekiel 1:3 and then Psalm 77:11. He writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon him, a change of the right hand of the Most High, that through him the Lord might give sinners confidence in a new life of grace, and that of conversion to God he might be an example." His conversion story reminds me very much of Augustine, or probably even more so of George Mueller, who had a very similar upbringing. Mueller grew up with much wealth, destined to be, I think, a lawyer, but lived a pretty profligate life until he was converted. And then, similar to Franciscan, really gave up everything, gave up anything that, in terms of financial security, and totally dependent on the Lord for his sustenance, and also for the sustenance of others as well, and the care of others.
So a significant change in Francis's life, and then obviously the life of George Mueller, as you mentioned him. Mm-hmm. This is a salvation experience. So mm-hmm. this is from darkness to light, mm-hmm. Saved by the amazing grace of God. And then we have a change in Francis, the deeds that come out as a result of the new life that Jesus Christ has implanted within him. Yeah. He turned into a much different character. So talk about the post-conversion Francis and some of the areas of his life that he may be more known for now.
There's a book by Millar Patrick, I think it's called The Story of the Church's Song, and he actually focuses on Francis in one of the chapters. And Millar Patrick was not only Presbyterian, but a Scottish Presbyterian, and he writes very positively about Francis and about the legacy that he left for the church. And about the movement, he writes this beautiful, I guess, elegiac statement. He writes, "His simplicity and sincerity, his sunny and loving spirit, his comradeship with the poorest, even with social pariahs and outcasts, first astonished men and then conquered them," which I think is a really beautiful way of describing when someone is living in the light of Christ. Their witness, their testimony, their evangelism is actually by how they're living their lives in front of men. And he goes on to say, he says, "In him they saw his master. Christ stood out visible before them, living, loving again. Francis and his followers had none but a simple gospel, Christ first, Christ last, Christ all in all. Patrick goes so far as to write that Francis was, quote, essentially Protestant, but lacked the intellectual force to be a leader of reform, end quote.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he's really basically saying that what you have here is a spirit or a movement of the Reformation occurring. It's not as we see it with Calvin or with Zwingli, but it's certainly the beginning of the stirrings of Reformation that are occurring.
And we see in his life true conversion and the fruit of that conversion. And you mentioned pre-conversion, an arrogant, self-promoting person who is out for his own vanity. Mm-hmm. And then his life is so much different after being saved by the amazing grace of God, in that he's a humble person who seeks to glorify Jesus Christ in all that he does. And that becomes what he's known for.
Correct.
His humility, his turning his back on the material wealth. Mm-hmm. In his own mind, Philippians 2, you know, Jesus Christ and his humility on earth, he models himself after that, of living that humble life. Mm-hmm. And then we see the fruit as a result of that in his life, which is an amazing thing.
I think one characteristic of his life following his conversion was suffering, and not a suffering that we think of in terms of flagellants, that type of situation, but just embracing suffering joyfully. You know, in a sense, the way we think about it, how we see it in the Acts of the Apostles, that after periods of suffering, often the Spirit does a great work, and there's rejoicing, there's singing, there's delighting in the fact that they were able to suffer for Christ.
Much like Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but understanding what that meant for Christ and for his church. And that's what he works in us as believers, and what he worked in St. Francis as well.
Yeah.
Specifically, leading to this hymn, there's a story I wanted you to share about him in a French forest, I believe.
Yeah. This is, again, from the biography by Thomas of Celano. He writes, "Once while he was singing praises to the Lord in French in a certain forest, thieves suddenly attacked him. When they savagely demanded who he was, the man of God answered confidently and forcefully, 'I am the herald of the great king. What is it to you?' They beat him and threw him into a ditch filled with deep snow, saying, 'Lie there, you stupid herald of God.' After they left, he shook the snow off himself and jumped out of the ditch. Exhilarated with great joy, he began in a loud voice to make the woods resound with praises to the Creator of all." So with our hymn, "All Creatures of Our God and King," you can almost imagine that those words may have been going through his mind. Now, that hymn he wrote 1 year before he dies in 1225. It's interesting to think about singing that hymn, that those types of thoughts may come to mind as he's just endured a beating and humiliation.
So the persecution and the things that he's enduring, he's still praising God in the midst of.
Correct.
And you can imagine him jumping up from that beating as he looks around the woods and he starts saying the words, "All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, O sing ye Alleluia." Reflecting also his own knowledge of Scripture. So Psalm 148, this hymn, which comes to the English language in the early 20th century, William Draper, an English hymn writer and translator, brings this hymn and translates it for us, but it reflects Psalm 148. Some of these parts almost verbatim. In Psalm 148, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." It goes on throughout this chapter, calling for the elements to praise the Lord. And then in other parts of the Scripture, obviously the Psalms, every single verse in Psalm 150 commands us to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. And you can imagine Francis and even us as we sing this hymn doing that, not just in ourselves, but calling out to those around us, whether we're standing at in the middle of work and this hymn comes to mind, or standing with our brothers and sisters on a Sunday morning in church singing this hymn, we are telling everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. So, so powerful. Another verse of this hymn, and you mentioned, Dan, that he wrote it around a year before he died. Mm-hmm. One of the verses of this hymn, "And thou, most kind and gentle death, waiting to hush our final breath, thou leadest home the child of God, as Christ before that way hath trod, oh, sing ye alleluia." So even looking forward to death, that some of us would recoil in horror at the thought of death, but he's looking forward to that because he understands that it's a vehicle to take him even closer into the presence of Almighty God, and his attitude toward that is really amazing.
Yeah, I think his life is characterized by complete abandon to the will of the Lord and a willingness to completely give up anything that was going to interfere in his love or his devotion or his, not just to the Lord, but also to his fellow man and to the Lord's creation as well. I think we can get sometimes a little bit hyper about if someone's not fully reformed, so to speak, you know. But the Lord still clearly used this man. He used him by the means of humbling him and causing him to rely solely upon the Lord. And we talked about this last week, I think, just even with Horatius Bonner, just this idea of seeking Christ in everything. If people have a chance to read this life of Saint Francis, even just the first book of it, it's very inspiring. It's very moving, and it certainly is very convicting.
Very convicting, and fully sold out to self before conversion. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Francis was definitely that post-conversion, and the Lord doing a miraculous work. Well, we look forward to singing this hymn together very soon in our church. And for those of you who have been listening, may the Lord use this hymn to turn your heart toward him and praise to him and praise of everything around us. And one day we will all join together in heaven and lift up our voice and sing to our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Dan, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Brad.
And thanks for listening in to the Hymns Podcast. Look forward to joining you again next time very soon.